Well, good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. If it seems like a few people are missing, Shiloh's having their memorial service this morning, so that's where they are, enjoying some fellowship with believers over there. Well, for us this morning, as always, I just have a few announcements that I want to point your attention to. We will have Monday morning Bible study tomorrow. We're in 2 Kings chapter 6. Again, we're having a great time of discussion. It starts at 10 o'clock. If you know somebody who's not doing anything on Monday mornings, we would love to have them here. So just invite them to come and join us at 10 o'clock. Boy, if you didn't hear about VBS, we had a great time at VBS. We were a little concerned that we weren't going to be as prepared this week as we thought we would be up in Cape and Bridge, but it went off pretty smoothly. Partly because, you know, the kids, they don't know whether you're prepared or not. They just are there to have a good time, and they had a blast. I was amazed. We had quite a few motions along with some songs, and I was amazed at how many young boys were doing their, you know, they were just really trying hard to learn all of those motions. So I was really impressed with that. Well, just be praying for us with VBS. We're going to have like an after meeting to see how we thought things went. Things maybe might be able to improve on next year, so that should be a good discussion for us to think about. Just in the simple fact that we're already thinking about, well, how could we do something better next year? Council meeting today after church. Everyone is welcome to attend. If you're not a member of the council, you can't vote, but you're more than welcome to stick around if you want and see the work of the church taking place right in front of your eyes as we just work through some of our reports. Prayer meeting this Thursday is in Winchester at LaRue's at 4. From 4 to 5. So if you're available in Winchester, we'd love to see you there. If you don't know how to get to LaRue's, either ask her after church or come and see me. I can get you directions. Lori and I and the family, most of our immediate family that's home and staying at home will be at the beach next week. So we're leaving next Saturday, be gone for a week. James Murphy, a ruling elder from the PCA and from Winchester, will be here. He's preached here a couple of times. So James should be doing a good job. And one of the things I enjoy about having James come is that he never cares. He doesn't have to preach his own sermon. I can say, hey, I'm going to be in Acts whatever, and he just takes over the next passage and moves forward because that's what he's used to doing. So he doesn't. He's going to be keeping us going in our Acts passage and moving us forward in that. So just to come out and enjoy him, hopefully I'll have some of his family with him too next week. If you missed getting the logo shirts, they are in. Lynn has got them somewhere. That's a good question. I'll have to look for them. If you ordered a shirt and you're looking for it today, let me know. I might be able to find it for you after church. But there are a few people that are already looking to get another order going. So if you missed the order and you want to order another shirt, or all of a sudden you saw somebody and you really like the color of their shirt, let Lynn know, and she's going to get another order going pretty quickly. Stuff on our prayer list, you know, with all that happened yesterday, you know, of course, we're going to be, you know, asking people to pray for all the candidates, not just for your candidate, but let's be praying for all the candidates that they would be protected by law enforcement in a way that lets this election process move forward peacefully. I think we should be praying for everybody involved in yesterday's event. Again, there's going to be lots of scrutiny, lots of stuff going on, families, lost loved ones. Some are in the hospital, so I'll be praying for a victim's family. Pray for the shooter's family. I mean, you know, if you have a troubled person that goes out and does something, your life is disrupted. Their life is going to be disrupted a lot this week. So be praying for all of that. You know, more close to home, Lucille Seldon's doing better. So a couple of weeks ago, we really felt like, or the news was from Dwight that she was really kind of reaching the end. And she's just bounced back, and now she's up. You know, she's eating and drinking and hanging out with the nurses, and so Lucille's doing a lot better. Still not very vocal, though he says once in a while he gets a word or two out of her, but doing better. So that's really good news. Janet Klein's away for the weekend, so just be praying for her. Probably coming back tonight from Pittsburgh. Let's just be praying for traveling mercies there. Penny has been to the doctor, working on her blood pressure, getting that worked out, and she's got to have her gallbladder out soon, so, or at least some point. And her mom, Joanne, is still in the hospital, has returned to the hospital with an infection. So just be praying for Jan. It's been 6 weeks now. Yeah, so she's really getting worn out about this infection. So hopefully the doctors will be able to clear that up. Maybe coming home today, not quite sure. So just be praying for that. And Kevin McComber, Charlie's son is supposed to be getting that back surgery sometime this month. He really needs that. His back is really making it so that he's pretty much homebound. So just be lifting up that that would happen soon. I don't have any other prayer requests specifically or announcements. Anybody else? Well, with all that's going on in the world, it's good for us to come in and worship because we worship a God who is in charge. Right? His arm is strong and mighty. Nothing happens outside of his control. And as we come into his presence, we can come in with our concerns, with our praises and our sorrows, and take them to him. His shoulders are big. He can take it. So let's prepare to worship him now. Let's stand together. Hear the Lord's call to you, his people, as he calls you into the very throne room of heaven to worship him. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. Lord, as we come into your presence longing to worship you in spirit and in truth, may our hearts be lifted up into the very throne room of heaven where we can feel and experience and know in a tangible way that you are here in our midst and we are with you. You are our God and we are your people. Lord, lead us. Lead us now in worship. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take your hymn and turn to hymn number 161. We stand as the people of God on the promises of God, the promise of God to save us and to take us to be with him one day. 161. Be seated. Keep thinking of all those psalms that talk about the Lord being our rock. And that rock is built on the promises that He's given us in His Word. Well, I'm going to ask Barbara Heisler to read our Old Testament passage here in a moment. It's from Deuteronomy. It's actually chapter 31, verse 30. So the very end of chapter 31, we're actually it's supposed to be listed as 32, 1 through 9. So we're going to pick up in 31, 30 and then read through 32, chapter 9. Here is the song of Moses as he praises the Lord for who the Lord is and what he has done for Israel. So Barbara.
Then Moses spoke the words of this song until they were finished in the ears of all the assembly of Israel. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass, and like showers upon the herb. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are no longer his children because they are blemished. They are a crooked and twisted generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Is not he your father who created you, who made you and established you, who made, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. But the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob his allotted heritage.
We need to remember that whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it's the Lord's people that the Lord is working for. He is working a plan of redemption out here in the days of Moses, and as we'll see in the days of Peter and the disciples as well. And part of that is that we would proclaim his glory. Well, as we go to prayer this morning, there's a lot to pray for. Hopefully everyone saw in the news the events of yesterday. Not something that is completely unknown in our nation's history, but something shocking nonetheless, that someone was able to even get the possibility of firing off a few rounds before security was able to intervene. And so there's lots to be praying for, whether it's the shooter's family, again, whose life is going to be turned upside down this week, whether it's the Secret Service and the police, as everybody puts whatever they did under a real form of scrutiny this week, or it's just the candidates as they think about what it means to be running for office. So let's go to the Lord, lifting up our country and the things that are taking place in our lives. For the Lord is not far from us, and he is present and working. Let's pray together. Lord, we can't help but turn our thoughts to all that happened yesterday, even as we come into your presence, safe here, Lord, in your presence. No matter what would happen, Lord, we know that your hand is sovereignly working for the good of all those who love you. And so, Lord, as those who love you and are living here in the United States, we lift up our country to you, and we admit, Lord, that our division is mostly our own fault, Lord. We have turned away from you and turned away from our neighbors and turned away from one another, and Lord, it has led us to even this attempt on a candidate's life yesterday. And so, Lord, we first of all pray that you would be healing the deep divisions in our country, that you'd be putting a stop to the deep rhetoric that has led to some of this. Lord, this is not something that happened overnight. We don't expect the fix to happen overnight, but we would pray, Lord, that the people would start a revolt against this deep call for division in our country over every candidate. Lord, we would ask that candidates would see this as a call to speak about the good that they could do instead of the evil that the other is thought to have be doing. Lord, we pray that they would be promoting good instead of pointing out failures. Lord, we would ask that our political system would see some change because of this event. Lord, we do pray for our candidates. Whether they're receiving protection or not, we pray that they would all be protected by your mighty hand and that you would bring our election process to a peaceful conclusion in November, and that you would see peace between now and then. Lord, we would ask if there's any other plans from any side of the aisle that they would be thwarted by law enforcement or just by your providence. Lord, put all of those that would seek to do evil, put them asunder, Lord, and help to bring their plans to light so they can be dealt with effectively. Lord, we think of the law enforcement that was involved in yesterday's shooting. Lord, everything they did, Lord, will be brought under scrutiny. And so we pray that that this scrutiny would lead to better protection in the future. Let everyone feel the freedom, Lord, or have the freedom to speak openly about what they thought and what they did and what they didn't do, so that all of this could be used to make things more effective in the future. And Lord, we even think of the shooter's family. Lord, their lives will be turned upside down. And so we pray that even through this, Lord, as tragic as it is, that they would know your comfort and goodness, that if they're members of a church, that church would surround them with the power of the gospel in dealing with all of the questions that they'll have to answer. And Lord, we think of the victims that have either lost their life or are fighting for their life now and their families. Lord, what can we say except for, Lord, bring healing where it's possible and carry those that are grieving along. That even in the midst of this unsuspecting and shocking event, Lord, that they would know that you are still sovereignly reigning from your throne and working good for those that love you. Lord, we admit it's hard for us to see exactly how that plays out, but we know that your promises are true. And so we're standing on your promises this morning, on your rock, and we're trusting that you can be our refuge, our strong tower, as we come into you and find safety. And now, Lord, as we think of unity and we think of the power of the gospel to bring people to Christ and to bring people into the kingdom, we recite the Lord's Prayer as he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 199. We learned in VBS this week that everyone needs Jesus because Jesus is the only way to heaven, and he's the only one that we can trust to get us there. So we're going to sing number 199, Only Trust in Him.
Thank you.
I pray that we are all trusting in the Lord to carry us along through life's ups and downs, through things that we expect to happen and the unexpected. Nothing is a surprise to the Lord. Trust in Him. And trust in Him with all that you are, both with your time and your talents, with the things that God has gifted you to be able to do, whether it's through your job or just through your hobbies. Trust Him in those things, whether it's your finances, the way that you spend your money. Money does make the world go round, right? We need money. God never said that money is bad. It's the love of money that's bad. So don't love your money too much this morning, but give it to the Lord, trusting that He will take care of you. It's not your money that's going to take care of you in the long run. It's the Lord and the Lord's blessing that carries you along. So think about that as we come to our opportunity to give the Lord a portion, just a little bit back of what He's given us as a sign of our thanks. I'd ask the men to come. Let's stand together for the doxology. Lord, we do praise You for Your faithfulness, for Your glory that shines on all the earth, for the way that we can look around us and see the work of the kingdom taking place, whether it's in VBS or in our own hearts. Lord, we praise You for being a God who is present, who is mighty, and who is worthy of praise. Accept our offering and use it for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. not sure how everyone is feeling this morning, but that's a good prayer for us, right? Come and fill us. You know, I'm not sure how empty you're feeling. I'm sure when you come to church, some weeks you feel more empty than others, but every week you could be praying that prayer, Lord Jesus, come and fill me. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 14. I think this is number 4. Is this number 4? Okay, good. Mary shakes her head yes. So number 4 in our sermon series. So I said last week, I wonder how long I'll be able to keep track of what number it is. 4 is it. I won't know next week. Anyhow, so number 4, we're in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Finally, we're at the day of Pentecost. We're at the day of Pentecost. Well, we were at the day of Pentecost last week, but now we're going to talk about the explanation of the day of Pentecost in Peter's sermon. I just want to open with a thought here. Now, when I was younger, and maybe some of you guys will remember this, when the space shuttle program was going like full bore, right, the training of the astronauts often was on television programs. Whether it was the nightly news or there'd be some special program, you would see all of the training that the astronauts had to receive in order to become an astronaut, right? To actually get selected for a mission. I mean, getting selected to be an astronaut was one thing, right? It was a big deal. The training just to get to that point was pretty intense. And so the news would show certain things, like astronauts spinning in a centrifuge to give them the sense of G-forces, right? They'd show them in spacesuits training underwater. They had this big, deep pool that they would put them in and all sorts of things in there. It was to give them some idea of being able to work in their suits in weightlessness. Sometimes they showed them without their suits on in an airplane, weightless, which is basically the airplane diving at the same rate that you're falling. So imagine a skydiver inside a plane. That's what's going on there. But again, it would give them this idea of what it would be like to be in space. Once an astronaut, though, got selected for a specific mission, especially when the space shuttle was, had all those missions, they would get specific training for that mission. Whatever that mission might be, they might have had to go and change a part on the space station outside in space. They had to go one time and change out something on the Hubble telescope. Whatever their mission was, they would spend time receiving training that would empower them to complete that mission. Pentecost is a reminder that God is not only training us for a specific mission, He is empowering us for that specific mission. One that He's been planning since the beginning of time. This plan of redemption that He's been working out over the centuries, right? It's a plan that's going to be accomplished, in fact, won't be accomplished without the work of the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord sends the Holy Spirit to empower us to complete the mission that He's giving us. What is that mission? It's to tell the world about Jesus. It's really that simple. It's to tell the world about Jesus, a mission that we could never accomplish effectively without the power of the Spirit. So what I want to look at this morning in our passage is when you become a believer, the Holy Spirit gives you, think about this, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to proclaim Jesus. He gives you the power to proclaim Jesus. We're going to see how effective that power is in Peter this morning. And I just want to say, though, that what does that mean? It means that you're going to be able to do this, if we look at Peter's example here, by grounding your proclamation, your telling of Jesus in the Bible. Right? The story of Jesus is in the Bible, and we need to ground our story there. It needs to be centered on Christ. As much as the stories of the Bible are exciting and good to turn to and effective for pointing out who Jesus is, we really want people to know Jesus, right? Not just the stories about Him. And then, of course, we do this by being fearless and reasonable. We're going to see where Peter really here is fearless and reasonable. So let me pray before we read our scripture. Lord, this is a passage that many of us are familiar with. And so we would ask that You would open our hearts and minds, that we would be attentive to Your Word, that we would see Jesus here and just the excitement of being filled with the power of the Spirit to know how to proclaim Him in the world. We ask that you would make it so for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when you become a believer, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to proclaim Jesus, which you do by grounding your story of Jesus, right? Your telling of Jesus in the Bible. Let me start by reading from verse 14. It says, Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. That's like 9 a.m., by the way. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And so now Peter's going to point to the three different texts in the Old Testament. In Joel it says, In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Just so you know, they would have been thinking about the crucifixion as Peter is preaching this, right? Because that stuff happened. It says, Before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him and in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. You can see Peter pointing over to where the direction where it is. They know, right? It says, Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. I'm going to stop there. Listen, Peter grounds, first of all, his sermon here in the Bible. You know, often I have a three-point sermon, like this morning. Peter here has a three-text sermon, three texts from the Old Testament that speak about the Messiah, that point people to the idea that what's taking place, what they see, was spoken about from old times. First, he mentions Joel 2, which talks about the Lord pouring out his Holy Spirit. Now, the context of this passage is one of promise in the midst of great trial. Let's keep that in mind. We have to kind of go back to understand where Joel was coming from. Israel was facing this huge famine. Things were bad. And in the beginning of Joel says, by the way, things are going to get a lot worse. Things are going to get a lot worse. But after that, after the famine, when the Lord finally relents, God will bless them so that they once again are satisfied. Not hungry, but full. Not thirsty, but now content. And Pentecost is the sign that that promise is being fulfilled. They thought it was about physical famine. Peter's saying, no, look what's happening. These people are not drunk with wine. They are being filled with God's Spirit, like Joel promised. How did Peter know this? Because he knew his Bible. And by being filled with the Holy Spirit, he has this illumination now of how the Old Testament related to what was happening now. And so he's able to proclaim to them that this Spirit that Joel is talking about is what they're seeing taking place. Have you ever ran into someone totally infatuated with Jesus? I just picture Peter being that way this during this sermon. He's totally infatuated with Jesus, preaching with great conviction. He's longing to tell everyone what's going on. When you see someone like that, they're excited. Their excitement can even be contagious and maybe a little scary when you see someone excited and on fire for Jesus. As their zeal seems overwhelming, overpowering, we might even be tempted to say a little over the top, calm down just a little, Peter. I mean, do you picture it that way? Peter's not giving a lecture here. He's excited because the Holy Spirit has finally come and his zeal is over the top. What holds you back from being infatuated with Jesus? Is there something holding you back from being infatuated with Jesus, infatuated with this biblical message that Jesus came to save sinners? We could stand with Paul and say, of which I am the chief, right? Jesus came to save me. It may be that you don't want to think of yourself as a sinner. It's okay, you are. And the Holy Spirit is coming to convict you and to save you and to indwell you, to teach you about Jesus. Maybe you just don't want others to think of you as a sinner. So to proclaim that Jesus came to save sinners, well, what does that say about me? It may be that you don't want to look too zealous. I think oftentimes this is probably more the case. We don't want to seem too excited or too fanatical or too over the top. Let someone tell us, hey, just calm down. Just calm down a little bit. Listen, all Peter is doing here is sharing what the Bible says. Is he impassioned by it? Absolutely. But he's just sharing what the Bible says. He uses Joel 2. He uses Psalm 16. He turns to Psalm 16 because it speaks of someone that although they die, they don't remain dead. And their body doesn't see decay. That the psalmist can only be talking about Jesus. And Peter points that out. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. He died. He was in the grave. We saw him. We took him there. We saw the empty tomb. We've seen him alive. His body did not see any corruption or decay. The Joel passage tells Peter's listeners that the point of the Holy Spirit is the beginning of a new era, the era that sees Jesus risen from the dead. Just think about that. It sees Jesus, the Messiah, risen from the dead, victorious because of the cross. Your sin paid for. Finally, Peter turns to Psalm 110, where this risen Messiah is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Again, that should excite us to think about Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, waiting for what? All of his enemies to be put under his feet. Waiting for total victory. Not wondering whether it's going to come. Oh, it's coming. But waiting for it to come in the perfect timing of God. All of this is seen in the Old Testament as God reveals how his plan would unfold in the future. Pentecost tells us it's arrived. The time is now. Right? The end times are here. It was a wonderful event then. Peter is excited. Don't think he's up here giving a lecture. He is on fire with the Holy Spirit to preach Jesus. It's a wonderful event then. It's a wonderful event for us today. The power of the Holy Spirit is empowering the Lord's people to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Empowering the Holy Spirit is empowering us. When you become a believer, the Holy Spirit gives you power to proclaim Jesus, grounded in the Bible, but center it on Christ. Right? The Bible has got lots of great information in there, but unless you get to Christ, it's all for nothing. Notice that's what Peter does. He doesn't just ground his sermon in these biblical texts, he points people to the work of Jesus. Like I said last week, speaking in tongues was not the big event. Right? It wasn't the big thing. Speaking in tongues wasn't the big thing. Here, the sermon from Peter's not the big thing. It's knowing Jesus that's the big thing. Right? It's being filled with the Holy Spirit's not even the big thing. It's the fact that being filled with the Holy Spirit is allows people to proclaim Jesus. People that wouldn't have proclaimed Jesus before are now speaking of Christ. One commentator even writes, it's not even the miracles that we see here that's important. In all of these signs and wonders that Peter's talking about, it's not those signs and wonders, right? They just testify to who Jesus is. It's Jesus. That's the big thing. It's their proclaiming the excellency, the glory of Jesus. That Jesus, the incarnate God, come in the flesh, has saved sinners from the wrath of God. That's the message. That's what people are excited about. They want their sins forgiven. There was no way to have them forgiven until Jesus came. I want you to take a minute to think about that, especially as it relates to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means you are filled with the Spirit of the risen Christ. Now just think about that for a second, that you, someone who lives in Highview or Winchester or Augusta, wherever it is, Romney, Berryville, you are filled with the Spirit of the risen Christ, who is seated right now at the right hand of God the Father. You want to be amazed by a miracle? Not physical healings. It's not the lame learning to walk again. Right? Those are great. The miracle of Pentecost is that sinners are now safe from the wrath of God. And they're proclaiming that message. You know, if you want to know someone's filled with the Spirit, don't look to see if they're speaking in tongues. Look to see if they're proclaiming Jesus. Look and see if they're proclaiming the glories of Jesus and that Jesus came to save sinners from God's wrath. Have you ever tried to tell a story that includes situations that are complicated? Maybe it's a very complicated, intricate story. This is what usually happens. You either ramble on too much, and then people lose interest, or you don't give enough detail, and people can't follow your story at all. I thought about that this week as some of the 5-year-olds and 4-year-olds were trying to share a story about home life or something. You could almost understand what they were saying, but not quite. You know what I mean? Has that ever happened to you? Well, Peter gives a good example about how to share Jesus. I mean, do you ever just wonder, okay, so I'm supposed to share Jesus. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit to share Jesus. What should I say about Jesus? Well, Peter's sermon is actually pretty simple. He talks about who Jesus was and what he did. He just talks about his ministry here on earth. He talks about the crucifixion. He talks about the fact that it wasn't an accident, but it was done by lawless men. Right? He points out that Jesus really died, but didn't see decay. That's an important point, that Jesus really died and was buried, but raised from the dead. He focuses on the resurrection, a sign that they would have known, right? They would have heard about. That wasn't done in a corner. So he talks about the resurrection and what that means for us as believers. He talks about the fact that Jesus isn't here now, that he's ascended to the right hand of God the Father, where he is working even now. The Holy Spirit being poured out is part of that work. And so it's very a good point to remember that Jesus is at work even now. Right? Not just working up until the ascension, but working now in his people. And finally, he talks about the present ministry of Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and what that means for the life of the church. You don't have to be a biblical scholar to share the good news about Jesus. You just got to know who he was, what he did, where he is now. It's that simple. And if you know those things, you can share those things. Because the Holy Spirit is empowering you to share those things. You don't have to go in your own power. In fact, that's your call. Your call is to go in the power of the Spirit to proclaim the glory of Christ right here in Highview, right here in Winchester, right here in Romney or Berryville, wherever it is you live. We need to be proclaiming the glory of Christ to our family, to our neighbors, to our friends, to each other. You ever hear somebody say that? Preach the gospel to yourself. You need the gospel too. You do. God has come to save you, a sinner, from God's wrath. When you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, He empowers you to share the gospel. Biblically based, centered on Christ, fearless and reasonable. Now think about this for a second. Let's see how fearless Peter is. Verse 36 says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Just think about what Peter's saying here. We'll talk about it in a second. Now, when they heard this, let's talk about that now. Who are these people that Peter is saying that to? They're the people that just last week were yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." That's who he's talking to. Peter is fearless here to be saying to them, "You did this, you lawless people." Well, let's see how they respond. Verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." You can only imagine Peter's singing, "Hallelujah," right? Because they're not yelling, "Crucify him," at the time. "And they said to Peter, and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Now listen, Peter must have been at least considering as he's preaching, maybe I shouldn't push on the consciences of these people too hard. But that's exactly what they needed. Right? They needed their consciences pricked a little, pushed a little, poked at a little bit. They needed the truth. We learned that in VBS this week. Everyone needs the truth. Truth comes from God. Why do they need the truth? Because there's only one way to heaven, and Jesus is that way. They have to know. What keeps you from being fearless for sharing Jesus? What keeps me from fearlessly sharing the good news about Jesus? Are we afraid of backlash? Are we afraid of pushing on someone's conscience just a little too hard? Are we afraid of ridicule? Are we afraid of being called a Jesus freak or someone who's a little over the top? Maybe we just don't like the uncomfortable feeling we have when we know we're pushing on someone's conscience just a little bit. Listen, Peter makes a very reasonable argument for who Jesus is and how they should respond. A simple argument for who Jesus is, what he's done, where he is now, and how people should respond. How should they respond? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you too," he could say, "will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," this that you see at work in the disciples around me, right? This is the message of the gospel. It's for New Testament believers and for those who are far off. That's us. Peter's saying this message is for us. We too receive the Holy Spirit. God has a specific plan for us. That's our takeaway this week. God has a specific plan for us that we see here at Pentecost, and that is to proclaim the glory of Jesus. That's our mission. And we need to ground that mission in the Bible. We need to make that mission Christ-centered. We need to be fearless in our presentation. We need to be reasonable in our arguments for why it's true. We need to be winsome, all of those things. God has given us the power to fulfill that mission. Isn't that great that God doesn't just give us a mission and say, hey, good luck, let me know how you do? No, he gives us the mission and the power to fulfill that mission. Imagine if you're training to be an astronaut. You go through all that specialized training, and then they ask you to drive the bus at the visitor center. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with driving a bus when I'm at the airport and I'm in long-term parking. There's nobody I'm happier to see than the guy that knows his way around the airport and can drive that bus and get me safely there. What if they just say, oh, you know, just why don't you just be in charge of the building? You know, just be like the head, I'm not sure, it wouldn't even be maintenance, maybe building engineer, they probably call him now, right? Just be the building engineer. Listen, a large building that's not working right, the AC's not working, it's trouble. If someone's not taking out the trash, if there's not daily cleaning, it doesn't take long for that building to fall into disrepair. It's an important work, but it's not what the astronaut was trained for. Right? They didn't put all that time and effort into him so that he could be or she could be a bus driver or a building engineer. No, they're supposed to be in outer space. That's what they trained for. That's what their function is. That's what their mission is. The Holy Spirit is empowering us. That's you and me. He's empowering every believer to share the gospel. That's our mission. That's what he's training us to do. That's what he's empowering us to do. That's our purpose. As Christians, as a church, could we do other things? Of course we could. Would they be good things? Maybe. But that's not what God's calling us to do. It's not what he's preparing us or empowering us to do. Our job is to share the gospel, to talk about Jesus, to point people to the Bible and to the Messiah. Jesus is the one that said he's the only way. Right? He's the only way. That's why everyone needs him. That's why the truth that we share is the truth that God gave us. He said, apart from him, there's no other way. Right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's from John 14. Sending us the Holy Spirit to empower us to share his message should be exciting news. Because now we not have only the best message in the world, but the power to share it. And the power to share it for Peter resulted in 3,000 people coming to faith. Now, you'd be hard-pressed to find those kind of results anywhere in the world since then. Right? But the Holy Spirit is bringing people to faith. The power, that same power, is at work even today, bringing people to faith. The story of redemption, the story of God's kingdom, the story of God's kingdom coming to earth, coming here to Highview, is still the best story there is, the best news we could tell anyone. So be fearless about sharing the gospel. God's Holy Spirit is with you, empowering you. Don't be afraid to be winsome and inviting and friendly. After all, you're not actually saving anyone. No, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's what the power is there for, so that the Holy Spirit through you can work in the hearts of others. Listen, we don't have to settle for activities that the world thinks are nice. We don't have to settle for activities that the world thinks are nice. The power of God is in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to be part of the transformation of stones of heart to stones of flesh. I mean, to hearts of flesh, right? We have a grander call and the power to do it. Let's not sell ourselves short by doing anything that doesn't promote the glory of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to change hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be about the mission of the church, which is through the power of the Spirit to proclaim Jesus, whether it's calling our neighbor when we don't see them to make sure they're okay, or sharing the good news that sin can be forgiven by a Savior who is able to cover it. Lord, in all that we do, We want Jesus to be at the center, that people would know him and be saved from your wrath and brought into the kingdom. We would ask that you would make it so for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's take our hymnal and turn to 252. Our hope is in the Lord. For only in the Lord can we be sure that he will accomplish his plan, which he will. Let's stand together. 252. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, the power of the Holy Spirit, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.